Hello. My name is Max Guo, and I'm a senior at Episcopal Academy, where I've been attending school for the past 8 years. Welcome to It's My Thing. I was raised in California, so I face a drastic difference in culture right off the bat, coming to EA and Pennsylvania. But EA is different than other schools in this area. There are very distinct and sharp differences between EA and, let's say, Conestoga than Conestoga is to other schools in the area. Throughout this series, I'll be talking with some of my previous teachers, good friends that I've made over the last 8 years, and these are going to be in interviews of like 10 minutes or so. I'll be covering anything and everything. Academics, extracurriculars, motivations, opinions, values, and pretty much everything in between. So there's going to be a lot of narration, but I think the most interesting part of this podcast will be about the culture and maybe some behind the scenes, like maybe a behind the scenes perspective of Episcopal. So this is not going to be a podcast about praising everything about EA. It's going to be honest. I'm going to be very candid in this podcast because this is my experience. So I will be talking about some touchy subjects like race, politics, things like that, that could provide a lot of tension and disagreement within the community. But that's just part of my experience, and I feel compelled to share what I've dealt with the past 4 years. So the episodes are going to go by chronology, basically. I'm going to start off with my underclassmen years as a freshman and a sophomore. And then the second episode will be about my upperclassmen years. I may divide them into junior and senior, depending on how much I have to say. I'm going to go into race, politics, cliquiness, as I said before, and the overall culture of EA as well. I want to know basically what other people are thinking as well, get everybody else's perspective, my teachers that I've had, how they felt teaching me. I want to know why they like it here, why they've stayed here, what's bad about the school, what they think needs to change, what has changed, what would they change about themselves if they could change one thing drastically, and more about who they are as people in the society and what their role is. So from a student's perspective, I want to talk about where the shortcomings are in support from the school, friends, family, and other issues with quality of life. And I also want to touch on things that EA is doing right and I think should continue to happen. And I want to talk about what kind of person they're truly making, what kind of values they're instilling in their students. So this is going to be a very candid podcast. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is my freshman year. As a freshman, we are immediately plunged into high school. I think, although at Episcopal it's a bit different, I think at a lot of other schools like Conestoga and like the public schools in the area, being plunged into a completely different environment, like they're going from TE Middle School or Valley Forge Middle School into Conestoga High School. So it's like they're separate campuses completely. But at Episcopal, since the whole campus is shared by everybody from pre-K to 12th grade, I was more used to the campus. I was more used to getting around. So there weren't any issues finding classes. There weren't any issues finding sports fields, places to participate, if that makes any sense. To find clubs. I think EA does a great job of inclusivity. I think that's something that they definitely stress a lot. I think everybody's welcome to any club they want to join. Everybody's welcome to participate in whatever sports they want to play. Whether or not you make the team or whether or not you play intramural is a different story, but you're definitely welcome to play. I think Episcopal also does a great job of showing their interest in diversity. I think they're trying really hard to include a lot of minorities, Asians, Black people, Latino people. I think those are all people that they're trying to usher into their school. I think that's definitely a good thing because you don't want to stare at, you don't want to go to a school where there's no one else like you racially, because I think race is definitely still a barrier in today's society. I think something that I don't think will ever go away. It's something that people always think about when they first see someone, is what color they are, essentially. And they may not have prejudice or anything. I'm not saying that everybody is going to feel one way or another just because someone's Asian or black or something like that. I think that's not really part of the culture here. But yeah, it is something that's definitely talked about and definitely something that's on people's mind. Another thing is the openness in terms of politics. I think EA, although there are extremely Republican students and extremely Democratic liberal students, I think there's no times where there's going to be bloodbaths between the two. I think it's usually a place of free open discussion. I remember actually there was a debate freshman year about between the Democrats and the Republicans for the election in 2012, it was right after the election of 2012, where Barack Obama outraced Mitt Romney. So the fact that they're having that debate in front of a bunch of people who are extremely Republican and against people who are extremely Democrat, I think that's just goes to show how Episcopal Academy is definitely trying their best to be very open about politics. That's something that they're doing right. Also want to touch on the religion. So Episcopal Academy, it's obviously an Episcopalian rooted school. Now, I'm an atheist, so yeah, I know, I had to tell you guys that, right? Because like, there's like that joke between, like, for atheists and vegans, like, you don't have to ask them, they'll definitely let you know that they're so-and-so. But I think that's really important. This is actually an apt time to mention that, is that I'm an atheist. So being someone who is so against the idea of a deity, or against the idea, against the central belief of a religion, such as Episcopalianism, the Episcopal Church, it's definitely sometimes rough to, I don't want to say it's rough, actually. I think it's like sometimes like a little bit unnerving to know that most people around you have connections with like Christianity and stuff like that. I think that's something that's also, I don't think it's ever going to leave my mind, because obviously just to know people believe in something that you don't, it's kind of hard to just ignore that. But I think Episcopal actually does a great job of including all religions. I've never seen someone be excluded because they believe in a religion that's not the norm at Episcopal. So I think I know many of my friends are Muslim, Jewish, Christian. Many of my friends are atheists, agnostic. I think there's all kinds of people at EA, like many different religions at EA. I think they're all, so like Christianity, there's like so many denominations as well that have different beliefs. So I think everybody at EA their religion is not the issue. Chapel, on the other hand, is sometimes a little bit unwieldy. Maybe that's not the right word, but yeah, I'm going to say unwieldy just because it's in the middle of the day. And although I appreciate the sense that they're trying to give us like some emotional cleansing from the school year, or the school day, and tests and quizzes and things like that, getting us away from the stress of like work, things like that, I don't think chapel is necessarily the right thing to force people to go to, if that makes any sense. I think if chapel could be optional, I think that would be amazing, just because sometimes I do want to go to an environment where I can just listen to someone talk and just reflect on myself. But as someone who doesn't believe in the religion that they're preaching, it's sometimes hard and uncomfortable to listen to everybody pray and things like that, because it's something that you don't believe in, if that makes any sense. So I think it's someone who definitely, I'm certainly not against people who are religious, if that makes sense. I'm not I'm not someone who openly discriminates against people who are have a different religious, believe in a different religious system than me. It's just sometimes uncomfortable for me to listen to prayer, things like that. As I said, like, I have many friends who are not, who do not have the same religious beliefs as I do. And I think, yeah, I think that's something that's really important to mention. Back to chapel. I think it's a little bit unwieldy because it's something that you're forced to go to. I think chapel and the church, like things like the institutions like that in general, shouldn't be shoved down our throats like that. I don't think, although it is a central idea at, or a central, a gathering essentially at Episcopal and for any like Christian school is to have like mass and things like that, of that sort. I think for people who don't necessarily thrive in that environment shouldn't be forced to go, if that makes any sense. I think, although some of the things that people talk about in chapel are fantastic, and I definitely like, am very intrigued to listen to other people, there's sometimes in chapel, like especially during the prayers, especially during things like that, I think it's sometimes people don't understand how overtly religious that is. That's kind of what I wanted to touch on. So. I'm going to start with freshman year. So basically what happened in freshman year is a bit unique in the sense that, so this is hard to say, this is hard to just openly say, but I think there's, so freshman year I faced something that someone at age like 14 shouldn't have to face. So my sister was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And don't feel bad for me if you feel bad for anyone. Please feel bad for my sister. She's 3 years younger than me, and she doesn't have to. I feel like for someone who's like 10 or almost 11 years old, it's just a tough scenario. It's unimaginable that she has to go through what she had to go through. I think, so that was something that's always been prevalent in my underclassmen years. She's much better now. She's still going to the hospital every month or so for checkups to make sure there's no relapse or anything, but she's definitely doing a lot better now, and everybody in my family is extremely happy and grateful that she's okay. But yeah, so looking at the way that she conducted her life really had an impact on who I was, as who I am as a person. Just looking at her with needles in her arms, and just getting some unknown liquid just injected into her body, it's just. And she's sitting there, she's laying down, she's doing her math homework, she's still going to school, she's doing all these things. So I really have no excuse, if that makes any sense. As someone who is relatively healthy, or very healthy for a person that age, I have zero excuse about schoolwork. There's no excuse to be slacking. That's just something that I've picked up. And it definitely motivated me to do well my freshman year and sophomore year and every year since. I think that's something that opened my eyes to how incredible my sister is, how incredible, how important that whole event, as horrible as it is to say, but I definitely learned and gained a lot from her. From the way that she responded to her unfortunate situation. I think that's something that's going to be, I'm going to hold on to for the rest of my life, is that sense of working hard, even though things are just in complete chaos and just awful, an awful time. It's something that I think will definitely be prevalent. And I think, everybody who supported me through that, I think that's also something that I want to praise Episcopal about. They definitely supported my whole my family, myself, my sister. Even though she doesn't go to EA, she was still supported in the prayers. I was offered consultation with the psychologist, Reverend Squire, the Rev. So everybody was reaching out to me, asking if I needed help or anything. Our whole neighborhood cooked dinners for us, because sometimes we would be in the hospital all day and come home at like 9:30, and we would look at a home-cooked meal right on our doorstep, and it was just... That's something that just almost just punctures your heart, just because you feel like that you're being... That people do care about you, and people do... People really do have you on their minds. It's definitely just fantastic to be able to see. So yeah, so that's something to talk about there. So freshman year also, I guess it was a year of trying new things. So I was pretty motivated to get out there, and I signed up for like 5 or 6 clubs like during the club fair. And I ended up, now as a senior, I only continue to do one of those clubs that I originally signed up for. I have like other clubs that I'm doing right now. That club is like mock trial, and that's something that I love to do, but we can touch on that later. But yeah, I think as a freshman, I was pretty eager to do things. So then something I also want to talk about is the sports at EA, what that's kind of like. I played basketball since I was about 4 years old. My dad always took me to the park and played against some of the other kids who were like way older than me, and I would just get annihilated. But that was how I got better. It was just playing against older, bigger kids, and yeah. But then after I started growing a little bit, like right now I'm about 6'1", so I'm doing a lot. I play. So as a basketball player like that, I think. I was definitely excited for the first season of high school basketball I would ever play in my life. So I went to tryouts. I thought I did pretty well. So as someone who was still like pretty short, or not pretty short, I was about like 5'11". I made the JV team, so that was pretty exciting. I made the JV team, and I sat on the bench for a few varsity games. But yeah, the JV basketball team was actually probably the best learning process as like a basketball player. I saw what some of the seniors and the juniors on varsity were doing and how hard they worked during practice, and it definitely motivated me to do a lot more as well. There were people like Connor Martin, Chris McNeil. Those were the two captains of that year. People like Mike Gelasso, they're like pretty silent but pretty deadly. he was a person that definitely led by example. I saw the way that he conducted himself on the court. He never got mad. He was strictly business. He just stuck to his game. And then people like Connor Martin and like Chris McNeil were more vocal leaders. They told me essentially what to do, but not in the sense like, oh, do this, like go get the balls and stuff like that. They're telling me like, okay, so when we're running down like on a fast break or something, since I'm a pretty good shooter, I want to branch out behind the 3-point line, because obviously I wasn't as big of a person. I want to branch up to the 3-point line so I can get ready to shoot, and that way a big man can come down the lane, and that way the person that's dribbling down the court has more options. Whereas if I went down the lane, I clogged that area up, a lot of the big men, I would just be adding extra bodies in the paint there, it wouldn't be as open. And now the person that's dribbling has only one option, and it's well guarded. So now the fast break just kind of ends up not working out. So that's something just for an example, like, of what I learned from them. Just like little tips and pointers that made my game better, and then looking at how they conducted themselves as people and like leaders of the team, it was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they literally led every practice. The coach didn't have to do much of anything, to be honest, because and no, I'm not trying to slam Coach Conley. He's like fantastic, and he's like probably like one. He has the greatest like work ethic of any like coach I've ever seen in my life. I've had in my life is like the way that he pushes us to work hard. It was pretty phenomenal. But all he had to do was like say Patino or like Izzo or some drill that he wanted to practice. And the two captains would just literally lead the entire drill. It would be no problem at all. Like, and if people needed pushing, they would help push people to run more. And that was definitely a fun experience. And I'm very glad that I tried out for or I played. I had that year, that season of basketball, because not only did I make friends, I also met upperclassmen that helped change my point of view more than they probably know. So then tennis season rolls around, and this is probably my best sport is tennis, and I make varsity team. That's something that I definitely rank as one of my biggest accomplishments, is to make the team, especially on a year like that. That was the greatest year I think of EA tennis history. We had a few Division I athletes. We had one D3 athlete, and then we had a ton of people who used to play a lot of tournaments and things like that, but kind of branched away from tennis a little bit. But they were still like phenomenal players, and we won the Interact that year, and probably the only year in the last few years that in the last like decade or so that we've won the Interacts, because Haverford is so good at tennis. That was a year of like greats, and that was the whole team was pretty much seniors and then a junior and freshman. That was like definitely a fun experience to be able to see like all the seniors interacting with each other, and they were all great role models, except for maybe Io. I'm kidding, Io. Yeah, I love you, Io. They were all like people that I looked up to. People that conducted themselves and the way that they behaved on and off the court was just so laudable. I think that was something that was cool. I also want to just touch on like the teachers at EA. I think my freshman teachers, I didn't really know what to expect, because obviously, new to high school, I wasn't sure like what kind of expectations were on me, especially as a freshman. I think a lot of teachers were more lenient and things like that. So yeah, that's also a good thing. So yeah, I want to talk about the teachers that I had freshman year. I think overall my teachers were good. I think I learned a lot. In the sense that it wasn't so much about the books and the things I learned in terms of bio and things like that. I think, yes, I learned things from those classes, but I think it was more about learning what teachers expected of me and what I needed to do as a student to be responsible, to be on top of my work and on top of my tasks. And basically, I think a lot of the pretty much everything in life has to do with time management. And I think that freshman year, I think I learned a lot about how to manage my time, how to use my time effectively, and essentially how to plan out my day, if that makes any sense. So the first teacher I want to talk about, and I'm going to do an interview with, is Mr. Shapiro. He was my honors biology teacher freshman year. He was, he's Jewish. He's married with, he's married. But the thing that's interesting about Mr. Shapiro to me was that he was new. Not in the sense like, well, yes, in the sense that he was new to the school. He was new to teaching, I think, freshman students, and he was new to teaching the subject as a whole. Of course, he was knowledgeable about biology, but I don't think he ever taught it. He taught chemistry, so he's definitely like a very science oriented person. Science-orientated person. So he's definitely a science-orientated person. So I think that was something that meshed well between myself and I guess all the other students and Mr. Shapiro, was that we were all new. We were all new to the environment. It was like a learning process together. I think him learning about us learning about him learning about students that go to EA, us learning about teachers that are at EA. And yeah, I think that was just like a fun class. It was a fun experience. But I really want to hear what he has to say about Episcopal Academy, because he has taught at a few other schools, private schools, and I want to see how Episcopal Academy stacks up against those schools.
So I'm here with Mr. Shapiro, my freshman bio teacher. So, Mr. Shapiro, could you just give us a quick introduction of like who you are and basically maybe your background?
Sure. So I teach bio and chem at the Episcopal Academy. I was a chemical engineer in college. I got an engineering sciences degree. I never did much engineering besides, I think, one or two internships in college. I went into education almost immediately after college. So I graduated in 2003, and I taught that fall of 2003. I first taught in Brooklyn, New York at a school called St. Anne's School, really interesting no grade school. And then from there, I bounced around to a couple other schools. Before coming to EA, I was at an international school in Madrid, Spain.
Cool. So you have a family, right? You have
yep.
a wife and...
I have a wife. And when I taught you, I had one kid that yeah. I think I probably talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. He's my son, Oliver. Mm-hmm. And then since then, I've had a daughter named Sadie, and okay. she's 1.5.
Okay, cool. And maybe talk about... could you talk about a little bit about your religion? I know you're Jewish.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I probably consider myself more of an atheist than anything else, but raised culturally Jewish. Mm-hmm. I celebrated the Jewish holidays as a kid, so Santa never came to my house, which is always like kind of sad at Christmas yeah. time, you know, like all like Santa's coming
all
to these houses, like nope, yeah. he skipped over your house. And my mom, I think, felt bad, so she used to. She used to put presents by the chimney and said that Santa made a mistake, which is always pretty fun. It's like, oh, Santa messed up and he gave some presents.
That's so cute.
But yeah, so we celebrated Hanukkah as a kid. That was like, you know, kind of like by Christmas. We got a present all 8 nights of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. A couple of the other holidays we used to do. So Passover, we did a couple seders. I don't know if you know what a seder is.
I don't know what a seder
okay.
is.
Okay. So, okay, yeah. So for Passover, seders, I don't remember it all that well, and I haven't done it in a long time. But a seder is like a plate, and it has different things on it that represent different parts of the Passover experience. So the Passover experience doesn't celebrate, maybe the wrong word, but commemorates the Jews leaving Egypt, so mm-hmm. you know, throwing away the slave chains of okay. Egypt. So different things represent, and then the plagues, you know about the story at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, the frog.
The frogs, yeah. God killing the firstborn, mm-hmm. like some yep. serious stuff. So a lot of it commemorates those different events. So there's like okay. bitter something to celebrate, or parsley's bitter, and it's like the bitterness that the Jews felt towards the Egyptians and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we do that every now and again, and there's this book called the Haggadah, and it's in Hebrew, so it's read backwards. So, but you kind of read through it and you talk about like, why is this night different than all other nights? /night. So it's kind of this ritual that you go through.
Right. And so, like you said, you mentioned like you're more of an atheist now. Mm-hmm. So you're definitely not Episcopalian.
Definitely not Episcopalian.
Okay.
Definitely not.
So, what do you think? Like, how do you think that EA's culture in terms of like religion, like has that like played any effect on who you are and your experience here?
Sure, definitely on my experience here. I don't know about as far as me as a person, but you know, I guess I'll talk honestly to you because you get the, why not? But I, mm-hmm. you know, the chapels sometimes are a little bit hard for me because I don't feel like included in the chapels
I agree,
because,
yeah.
you know, they don't really represent my views and mm-hmm. especially as someone who's like probably primarily atheist, secondarily a Jew, you know, when they talk about Jesus and these hymns and things like that, they're not things that I can really feel part of. And it's like, bow your head. It's like, well, I don't believe in this. So it's kind of awkward for me. So I don't want to be disrespectful at the same time. And I understand it's Episcopalian school. It's one of the values of the school and people come, it's what it was founded on. So I think it's totally reasonable to have chapel and all those things, but it's not like a space for me where I go like, this is something that's meaningful. This is something that is reflective for me. So I guess that's kind of my experience with it.
Yeah, I think I have a similar experience. I'm an atheist as well. Okay. So I think sometimes like in chapel when we're singing hymns and stuff and it's kind of things I don't believe in, it's hard to even like get the words out of my mouth sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of like a chapel speech that I do. Like I've been to a bunch of chapels now, obviously. And mm-hmm. I always wonder, is like someone going to say like, I'm an atheist, and like what would that response be? Because I don't know what it would be, you know. I don't know if that would be a disrespectful thing to say, or it's a weird thing to be like inclusive of all religions and faiths, because like atheism is like the lack of faith, but at the same time it's a viewpoint, it's something that I care about and like believe deeply in, as much as you can believe deeply in atheism, right? But I mean, I have a lot of, I guess, feelings about like, well, I don't know, I don't want to like take over your interview here, I guess you can just cut it later, but my dad's always asking me like, well. And he has a really hard time. Like, he was also raised Jewish. He's kind of gone different ways. He's like kind of like has Taoism type of stuff going mm-hmm. on. He's always like, well, what is your code? Like, where do you get your sort of like your social code or your moral code from? And I think that's a really interesting question as someone that doesn't have like a, you know, sort of a religion to fall back on. And I don't really know what to tell him except, you know, just try to be a good person.
Be a good person.
And same. I don't know if there's like any greater code than that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you kind of answer to your own conscience. And you know, I think that dictates a lot of sort of how I act and how I behave. And just try to be good and nice to people and help them when I can.
Yeah. So I guess segueing away from like religion. So I thought that something that was interesting and one of the biggest reasons I want to interview, not only because you're one of my favorite teachers freshman year.
Thanks, Max. You're my favorite students.
Thank you. But also the fact that as freshmen, we're new coming into high school. Mm-hmm. But you were also new to EA.
Yep.
You're new to teaching biology?
Nope. I had taught bio before. So I had taught bio for, I guess, 2 years when I was teaching in Boston. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't taught bio for a long time. So I think I had taught bio maybe even 3 or 4 years off before I taught that class at UN.
And that was the first year teaching freshmen. Your first year teaching freshmen, right?
No, I taught freshmen. Okay. That's okay. I taught freshman bio a while ago. And then so I've taught basically every grade from 6th to 12th.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. Yeah. So yeah, so I talked about this earlier, but it was interesting because as someone new to the high school, as freshmen, you don't really know what to expect from like the teachers, right? So I thought it was really cool, and I hope you feel the same way, that like we learn from each other almost, in the sense that you kind of felt like you kind of got a grasp of like what an Episcopal student kind of is, and then I also got a grasp of what an Episcopal teacher is, like Episcopal Academy teacher is.
I know it was funny because I don't know if I really represented it because I was thinking that first year. I mean, I was an Episcopal Academy teacher because I was teaching there. Yeah. But yeah, for sure, I had no idea what the students would be like. I did the one day where you come in as an interview, you interview and you have to teach a class, but that's so awkward. You teach a class like that's had a different teacher. You come in there and they just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
But in my sense was they're always nice and respectful kids. Yeah. And you know, that's the sense that I got from you guys too, pretty early on. It's so funny though, like each individual class is really different. So that year I taught three different, that was the only year that I've been here that I taught only honors bio. So I taught all the honors bio that year. Uh-huh. And the personalities of the classes are so
completely
different too,
different dynamics,
which is always really fun and interesting as a teacher. Like I remember your class, you had Schiller in that class too, right? Mm-hmm. You had
Nico.
So you had Cyrus in that class too. Like, so like looking back, like what a powerhouse of a class that was as well.
Yeah.
But, so that, and I remember that class just being a really fun class too, a really good, fun group of kids that we could kind of joke around with as well.
So the
question was about sort of how we kind of both were freshmen in a sense. I remember thinking about that a lot, and like your class is especially meaningful to me because of that, because I was a freshman.
Yeah.
I'm not a senior. It's a funny thing about a teacher. You're always in this kind of limbo period.
Yeah.
But just seeing you guys graduate is going to be pretty emotional for me, because all the other classes that have graduated, I haven't taught any of the students. This is the first class that's going to graduate that I'm going to know a fair amount of you. Mm-hmm. And again, like, just so many, I think, special kids that I think of are going to do some awesome things at some point in the near future.
I think like a lot of like future leaders are graduating in this class.
I believe it. I think you guys are... you know, it's all the, there's so many talented kids here, but that class I think is especially meaningful to me just because it was my first year here.
Mm-hmm.
What about on the teacher side? Was you were thinking like, wow, this guy feels really new, like he doesn't get EA at all, or?
Not really. I think, as freshmen, we obviously didn't really understand what was going on. So I think, it's like typical, the freshmen are always like very eager to like participate in everything.
Sure.
So I think, but like as high school like wore on, it started to wear down on us, and we started to get like more like, oh, okay, just slogging through it kind of thing. But I think that year was it was weird in a sense, because we had some kids that weren't especially like, that I don't typically think, I'm going to be frankly honest here, I don't think of as honors kids.
Yeah.
And then some kids that were like extremely intelligent, like Nico. And then I think it was just like a weird dynamic, because like at that point, we didn't really, and especially with all the new kids coming in too, we didn't really know each other. So I think all the classes that year, and in bio especially, because it's so like, it's a more interactive class, because there's like labs and things like that too. I think I actually, through that class, I got to know a bunch of people better.
Good.
And I don't think I would have been would be talking to if it wasn't for that class.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, I had one more question to ask, and it's pretty big. So like,
sure.
So EA in general, what would you say like it's doing right now? And then like, what would you like want to change or prefer to see like to see happen?
That's
and if there
question.
Are any changes that you've liked in the past, or
okay.
you touch on those? I don't know.
So let's start with the positive. What is it doing right? I mean, I think it's still by and large like a really good college preparatory program.
Yeah,
like I think kids are getting a really good education here. I think they're being challenged. I think it's rigorous.
Yeah. And it's not only like the just like the course material either. It's like time management skills. Like a lot of the intangibles, I think Episcopal is doing really well. Like how to even talk to adults.
Right.
Things like that.
Right. Exactly.
A lot of the kids have a better sense than like most like public schools and stuff like that.
I think the teachers are thoughtful about that. I think they do want to just, they're not just about educating the student. They do think about, I mean, it's a weird thing being a teacher because obviously you have the education piece, but you're kind of like raising kids in a certain way, like not in the same way that parents are, but you're certainly trying to develop a lot of those same skills, like citizenship, what it is to be a good person to other people, what it is to listen to other people. So, you know, I think there's definitely a focus on that. I think there's good support structures in place for that. And I think all those things are attended to here. So I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, the negative side is probably what you'd say too. I think kids are overworked. They're stressed. They have schedules that are really complicated.
Yeah.
My biggest concern, and I think about this a lot as a teacher, is, well, like we have an honors bio class, right? It's an honors class. I want to make sure they're getting an honors experience. They're learning a lot of bio, which comes with a pretty good amount of rigor and a pretty good amount of work. But I still want them to enjoy being a teenager. Like, I want you guys to do teenager stuff and have fun with each other. And, you know, every assignment that I assign is in some ways getting in the way of that. And plus, so you think about in the greater context of you being in several other classes.
Yeah, I think that's like something that like a lot of teachers, I'm not accusing anyone by any means, but there's some teachers that kind of forget like that some of these kids are taking 6 or 7 classes, and if they're assigning this much work, a lot of the teachers are also assigning that much work, and it just stacks up and you end up like going to bed late, and then it's just a vicious cycle because the next day you're tired. So then when you get home, like you can't really do anything. So then you might like take a nap or something, then go to sleep later. And then it's something that's definitely like, just like a vicious cycle almost.
Yeah. There's that wellness piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of the same thing, like this whole idea of mind, body, and spirit. Well, like mind and body are really tied into rest and how much time and spirit too. I told you the spirit piece is a little bit complicated for me, but how much time do you actually get to sort of nurture that side? And it's hard because we do kind of as teachers get caught up in our teacher's bubbles and like, man, I got an honors bio class to teach and these are the topics I got to get through them. But then that compounds itself. And there's so much research that shows like teenagers, I don't know if we talked about this when when we were in bio, but teenagers have a different sleep cycle than adults. Like, they actually go to bed later and they should get up later, and sort of school isn't conducive, and this has nothing to do with EA, but school just isn't conducive to that. Yeah. So you guys are staying up too late. You're certainly getting up too late, even for your sort of own internal clocks. You're coming to class, you're getting more work. Like, when do you guys get that time to rest? And then sort of like the physical piece gets kicked in, then that makes the mental all the harder, right? If you're tired all the time, stress starts to accumulate. It's harder to deal with stress when you're physically tired, you're emotionally tired, and that's hard. And you're almost done here at EA, like, or do you think about what it would be like if you had gone to some other place? Do you sometimes wish, like, man, I shouldn't have gone to EA? Or you just, I mean, hopefully you're more or less happy that you went here, but
yeah, I think overall I'm satisfied that I went to EA, and I'm glad that I am going to call myself an alumni of EA.
Yeah,
and hopefully in 6 months.
certainly will happen.
Hopefully in 6 months. I think there are certain aspects like that we touched on that I found to be extremely like unfortunate that, like, because, like, I have a lot of friends that go to Great Valley High School, and some of them aren't.
That's near the local public school?
No, that's just that's a public school, like, near my.
Okay.
My local public school is Conestoga, and they're pretty bad, too. Like,
okay.
But Great Valley, a lot of the kids, like, they're taking all these classes and stuff like that, but they're going to sleep, like, maybe 2 or 3 hours earlier than I am. And I'm just sitting there, I'm, like, wondering, where did I go wrong, like, coming to Episcopal Academy? And it's, like, sometimes, like, of course, it's, like, there's only, like, those certain nights where you just have a ton of work, and then you're just up until, like, midnight, past midnight, and just trying to just write something down almost.
Sure.
And it's just, it's frustrating. But I think overall, I think I'm as ready as anybody else in terms of going to college and stepping forward in my life. So I think that's something Episcopal is doing really well right now.
And that's something you can say to yourself when you're like,
yeah,
when the other kids are like, man, I got so much less work, but at least you can say, like, well, there's that piece of it, but I'm going to be really prepared when I go to college too.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely a positive with it.
And do you think there's any, like, changes that you could implement to help counteract that negative?
Yeah. I mean, I think just the work that I assign, right? Like, I can just be more mindful of the work that I assign and try to stick to certain homework boundaries and time boundaries with homework. Next year we have the new schedule coming up, you know, and we have a lot less contact time with students, especially with sciences where used to sync is every day plus double time on lab. So we're going to have the days off, but really try to stay away from doubling up on homework and stuff like that. You know, it's like, just because they're not going to see you the next day, try not to assign two things. And I think about that stuff now, but I think it's always something that you can try to get better at with your own time management, your own sort of course planning. And make sure that there's not going to be too many crunch periods. There's going to be natural crunch periods throughout the year, like end of semester. That's just going to be a crunch period. Yep. Teachers have to get stuff done.
Right.
I think students should be understanding of that too. You know, certain big breaks, there's going to be somewhat of a crunch period. But just so there, I had this really strange head of school when I was working in New York, like, really odd guy. He was a Quaker. Not that Quakers are odd. I don't know. You can edit that out. For the record, Quakers are not odd.
Yeah.
But he was, like, really interested, like, in Quaker schooling. And I think there's actually a positive. You know, like, I think Quaker schools are pretty good schools by and large. But one of the things he was always saying, which I took to heart, even though he's kind of a weird guy, was, I don't know if this is true, but he's saying, like, homework was originally invented just to, like, keep kids busy. Just, like, what is it, like, there's some expression about the devil, if you're not doing work, like, the devil gets you. Do you know that expression?
Something along those lines.
Okay, there's some expression. So basically homework was invented to keep kids busy so that they didn't get into trouble.
I see.
So, like, if you're looking at your assignment, if this assignment is just, like, busy work, right, just don't assign it. Like, it's okay to do a no homework night, right? And I think that's sometimes as teachers are like, oh, I didn't assign homework. It's not rigorous enough. It's like, nah, it's okay. Like, some nights there can be no homework. If there's no assignment, if they don't need to do it, just give them a no homework night. So I think, keep on pushing myself like that. Homework doesn't mean that I'm doing my job better. It's always dependent. Is this homework necessary? Is this helping them understand the lesson for the day?
And then going back to the sleep schedule, I actually had an idea before a long time ago, like maybe sophomore year or maybe end of sophomore year. It was like, what if we came to school later and ended school, like, later, or we changed the sports around? So like we wouldn't have to wait, that domino period wouldn't exist, or it would be in the morning and it would be optional, something like that. So we had, like, an extra hour in the morning to, like, I don't know, sleep, get up. You can get up later as well. And I think, I don't know, I thought that was a pretty good idea, but, and I heard something about that, like, happening, and then it never happened.
I know, it needs to happen. Yeah. It needs to happen nationwide. There was, and you can look this up, too, if you want to put it into the podcast, there's, like, some, like, super gifted school, like, somewhere, and, or maybe it was in, yeah, I think it was some gifted, maybe a charter school, public school, but whatever. They pushed their start date back, like, an hour instead of 8 to 9, and then all their test scores went up, you know? Like, yeah. there's good evidence to show that this is not just for, like, a student wellness thing. Like, it's a good academic piece, too. It's really frustrating, but I think a lot of it is tied into sports, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, like, here we have that domino block. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Like, how useful is domino
most
days?
Yeah, it's just an issue because, like, sometimes... Because you can't really... What if you go late? Because then you're late for sports, and then you get blamed in that sense.
Yeah, and then the day's pushed back, those 2 o'clock dismissals, you're not missing one class, you're missing two classes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I don't know, look, it's about, so students miss more class. Mm-hmm. And we deal with that as teachers all the time. Like, it's annoying, but we get over it. If you're talking about your student body just being less sleepy and, like, feeling healthier, by and large, seems to be a good choice to make. But, hey, you know, as I say, Max, that is far above my pay grade. But I would definitely, like, look into making, if I ran the world, if I ran EA, I would look into making that happen.
Look, lady, I just work here.
Yeah, exactly. I just collect paychecks.
So, do you have anything else to add or about what we talked about? Or?
Well, I mean, I know this is a project for you, but just, like, I'm going to be sad when you go. It's been nice knowing you, but we haven't had too much contact time. I was really excited that you're in this J term, get one more chance to just teach you and interact with you. One of the sweetest things I remember was when you were sitting in class freshman year, and I think it was our last day, it was one of our last days, and, like, I just can't believe, like, we're not going to be here anymore. I don't know the exact quote, but it was just kind of, like, reflecting on the year, and it seemed like you had... like, legitimately kind of sad that, like, our relationship is over. And I was, too. And I think that's something about teaching that's always so strange to me. Is, like, you start off in September. You don't know anybody. You don't know any of your students, especially that year. I didn't even know EA, right?
Yeah.
And over the course of the year, you develop relationships, teacher-student relationships, and you get to know each other, and you really get to like each other. Most of the time, you know, that's not always the case, but most of the time, you really get to like each other, and then you say goodbye in June, and then that's kind of it. The relationship just ends. And you do it again the next year. But there's always a little bit of part of me that's sad to say goodbye to everybody, especially a student like you, which was a special student in a lot of ways to me.
But I'll definitely be back to visit.
Okay, so stop back and visit.
You're definitely one of my stops. So
make some more podcasts and send those out too.
All right. Well, that's all. Thank
you.
Okay,
sure.
So everybody who stuck with me to this point, I'd like to thank Mr. Shapiro for giving that awesome interview. And I'd like to thank every one of you who has listened up to this point, and I hope you join me on the next episode. I'm going to start talking about my sophomore year. So stay tuned for It's My Thing, episode 2.